Well, if you would, look in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 1. It's where we're going to be starting this morning. Today's Sunday, June the 4th, 2023. Galatians 1 is where we're starting. I heard about something that happened in a preschool recently, and I'll share that with you in a little while. But we're going to start in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, I absolutely guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of God that we have came by revelation. Paul didn't just sit down one day and say, I think I'll write a letter to the believers in Galatia. I wonder what I should say. This sounds good. All of the scripture. We know from the epistle of Peter that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Timothy, another familiar verse, but good to remind ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, all scripture, all of it, Genesis to Revelation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God breathed, all of it. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You can read in John 17 where Jesus Christ said that God's word is the truth. The truth. And it is the truth. The Bible, rightly understood, is the truth. And as a matter of fact, it's the standard for truth. And we have standards that we use today. This is a tape measure. So we can all guess, if we wanted to, how long this table is. But if we want to know the truth, we take the tape measure and we measure it. But if we don't understand what all these little marks mean on here, you know, is that decoration? Does it even matter? I mean, because it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What are those? What are those? If you didn't understand how this worked, if you didn't understand the standard, you wouldn't be able to get a true measurement, right? Same with this little measuring cup. It's got all these things on here. It's got mLs. And it's got ounces on it, and then it's got little lines. And if you didn't understand the standard measurement object or thing that you're using, then you wouldn't get a true weight, a true measurement. And it's the same with God's word. Those are my props for today. That's it. When it comes to God and the things of God, we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to guess. We don't want to say, well, I think. We want to know the truth. And four very important things that we as born-again believers need to know the truth about. Number one, who God is. Number two, what God can do. Number three, who are you as a born-again believer? And number four, what can you do? And all four of those things need to be based on what is true, the truth, which comes from a right understanding of God's word, because God's word, rightly understood, is the absolute truth, no matter who believes it, no matter what people say about it. Rightly understand the scriptures, we have the truth. And Jesus Christ said, you'll know the truth, and it's the truth that'll make you free. So I think in recent weeks we've looked a little bit about God and who he is and part of his nature, and we've looked at things that God has done, things that God can do. And so this morning we're going to do a little brief review to remind ourselves who we are according to what God says. And I say brief review because if we really wanted to thoroughly exhaust that topic, we would read all seven church epistles and take a break, and then we'll read all seven church epistles again, take a break, and then we'd really go to work. So that's why I said a brief review. So if you would go to Romans chapter 3, and I realize this is a review for us, but it's important to continue to review, remind ourselves of who we really are in God's eyes. And when I say who we are, who we as born-again ones are. Romans 3, verse 21 says, but now, that means right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or the believing of Jesus Christ, this righteousness of God is unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. And that believing would be believing in Jesus Christ. When we confess Romans 10, 9 and 10, confess Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's a great truth people need to know. So this righteousness of God, it's unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This righteousness or justice, this word is translated righteousness, justification, justified, justice. It means to be right according to an established standard. Tape measure. 14 9/16. We know because we got the right standard in measuring. This righteousness is to be right according to a established legal standard. And God's justice is the highest legal standard there is. So we are right in the sight of God. We may not be right in the sight of others or in the eyes of the current culture, right? You may not feel righteous. You may not feel like you are absolutely, totally right in God's eyes. But that doesn't matter what you think, what anybody else thinks. This is what God said. He made you and me righteous. You are righteous. Absolute truth. And so that word justify, being justified freely in verse 24, that comes from that same word, right according to a legal or established standard. Well, isn't that wonderful? That's what God said. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, it says, chapter 5 of Romans, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, can't be physical strength, not talking about that, not talking about mental strength, spiritual strength. We were without any because we didn't have God's Spirit. We were without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have God. It says in Ephesians we were without God and without hope because we did not have his spirit. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I wasn't that bad. I wasn't robbing banks. I wasn't a terrorist. We were all sinners. All, we just read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only one person who ever lived a perfect life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified. There it is again. We are right in the sight of God. By his blood. We sang that song this morning. When you see that in the scriptures, it's a figure of speech representing he gave his life. Much more than being now justified because Christ died, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we were without strength, ungodly sinners, but now, because of God's love and Jesus Christ's sacrifice, paying the legal price for us for sins, we're justified. And it says, saved from the wrath to come. The wrath is the judgments that are coming. There is a day when all human beings are going to be judged. But it says there very plainly, we're saved. Where is that? Verse 9. We shall be saved from wrath through him. It says the same thing in Thessalonians, who delivered us from the wrath to come. We will not have to participate in the judgments. That's what God said, right? Is that true? Well, yes, because God said it, right? And sadly, how many born-again Christians are trying to make themselves right in God's sight by their works? God will really like me if I do this. God, you're already right in his sight. How many Christians are trying to pay for their own sins? How many Christians are fearing judgment day? We're saved from the wrath to come. That's who you are. That's who I am, because that's what he said we are. In chapter 8, more familiar scripture. We know when we got born again that we received God's Spirit, and Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage." God hasn't given us a bondage spirit when we got born again, but you have received, it says, the spirit of adoption, and we know that to mean a sonship spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself that we have in us bears witness with our spirit, with us, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. At the moment of the new birth, we receive God's Spirit in us. It's in us. God said that we received his Spirit, and that should be enough. That's true. And then God gave us proof. When we manifest, when we speak in tongues, it's proof that we have the Spirit. It's really something. God Almighty is our Father. Does it say children? No. Children of God. Means God's our Father, right? And so that's not just a nice little religious phrase that we use in our group. We're God's children. God's our Father. No, it's literally true. The creator of the heavens and the earth set this up where we could literally be his children. And that's absolutely true, because we're born from above. God is literally our Father. So do we see ourselves like that? That we're a child of God Almighty? Doesn't that sound like it would open up a really wonderful relationship? Right? I'm sure there are kids in this neighborhood that if they came to my house and said, "We think you're our dad, could we have some money or some food?" I'm sorry, I don't know you. When God looks at us, we are his dear children, and he loves us. And then it also said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. My goodness. This is what God said. Look at Ephesians 1. Sometimes it's refreshing to just look at this as not only a little review, but a reminder, to remind ourselves we're God's children. We're heirs of God, that God would make us joint heirs with Christ. And what did we do? Nothing. He did it all for us. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do we have all spiritual blessings?
Yes.
The reason we can say yes, and we know that, because that's what God said. Do all of us have all of them? Well, look at verse 23. Which is his body, talking about Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Nobody got missed. Nobody got less. Nobody got more. We have all spiritual blessings. We're coming back to Ephesians in just a second, but look at Colossians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. And verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, this is you and me, are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. We even heard that in manifestations this morning. We are complete. Are we lacking? No, not spiritually at all, because we have all spiritual blessings. Back to Ephesians 1, verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he, we're in Ephesians 1:4, according as he, God, has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, actually should start verse 5. Holy and without blame before him. You and I, holy and without, we are holy and without blame. Do you feel like that? You feel holy? You feel like you're without blame?
Well, sometimes I don't.
This is who we are. God said we are holy and without blame. Do we believe it? Is that how we see ourselves? Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption or sonship by Jesus Christ. Well, we should start with in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is all his idea. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Not in our good works. We're not accepted because we do all these good works. He's made us accepted in the beloved one, in Christ. We're accepted. Well, are we accepted in God's eyes? Yes, we just read it. God said so. It's true. It's the truth. Others may not accept you. God does. Would you rather have famous people, important people accept you, or would you rather have God accept you? I'll take God any day, right? It goes on in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Jesus Christ gave his life. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Boy, this is so big. Are you redeemed? Yes, because the price was paid. That's what redemption is all about. It's a price paid to redeem something. Some of us are old enough to remember S&H green stamps, little redemption books. there were some younger people in this room, they'd go, what is he talking about? And you would take those and redeem them for something. Redemption. We are redeemed because the price has been paid. And then that verse also says, the forgiveness. We have the forgiveness of sins. Are you really forgiven for your sins? Yes. We're forgiven because God said so. And go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, says pretty much the same thing we just read in Ephesians 1, 7. Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have, we don't work for it, we have redemption through his blood. And what else do we have? The forgiveness of sins. We have that. And if you look at chapter 2, I think Dave read these verses when we were singing songs. Verse 13, and you, yes, you. Now, the reason I said that like that was because when we read the seven church epistles, this is God's mail to us. And when we read it, we should take note when it says you, or us, or we, when it's talking about the believers, not when it's talking about, you know, Paul and the group we went there. But when it's talking specifically about born-again believers, we should just stop and take note of it. You, that's me. This is who God's talking about. And you, verse 13, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made us alive because of Spirit, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Not just the little mistakes I made. The big ones, the little ones, all of them. It's all forgiven. All of it. So, this is so important to read because so many Christians really struggle with sin consciousness, unworthiness for things in the past that pop up into their head, right? This is the truth. God has forgiven us of all of it because we got born again. But sin consciousness, condemnation, unworthiness, living that way, how easy is it then to accept God's promises to us? It's not easy. When people carry condemnation, unworthiness, shame, sin consciousness, when they carry that, how easy is it for them to accept that, well, God loves you and God promised you this. God said he would heal you. God said he would prosper you. God said he would do exceeding abundantly. Maybe not me. See, it's a great trick of the adversary to get us to deny the truth that God has forgiven us. Do we deserve it? No. Could we earn it? No. But Christ paid the price, and God said, clean slate. And then we know when we make a mistake, it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we do stumble, we go to God and go, I screwed it up. I'm sorry. Okay, all forgiven. Walk with me. What a God we have. And this is us. So it's really important for us if we really want to live our lives for God. We got to know who we really are, and God spells it out to us, and this is who we are, forgiven ones. You are forgiven. All of it. So if it's all forgiven and all gone, why do we ever want to remember it? When it pops up, gone. Gone. We're in Colossians, right? Look at chapter 1. Well, this is amazing. It's all amazing. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Talking about Jesus Christ. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, me, and you that were sometime or formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We've been reconciled because of Adam. That very close relationship he had with God was ruined. It was broken. But now we've been reconciled. That relationship with God, because of the Spirit we have, we've been reconciled. It's been repaired. We have God's Spirit in us. The relationship of God, the relationship that God put in place was that of Father, Son, and we have His Spirit in us. Ephesians says, it is by way of the Spirit that we both have access to the Father. The relation, isn't reconciliation great? We've not only been reconciled, but look at the next verse. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh. Well, let's read 21 again, just keep it flowing. And you that were formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, we are being presented you to God, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's who we are. Jesus Christ, present us to God. God, I'd like for you to see Sonia. She is holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Here she is. How's that for an introduction? How's that for a presentation? That's who we are. That's how we need to see ourselves. Oh my goodness. No wonder it says we have access to the Father by the Spirit of God. No wonder it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we could find mercy and grace in time of need. This is who we are. God said you are holy. God says you are unblameable. And God said you are unreprovable. Another way to translate unreprovable is unimpeachable. Put nothing... If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, it says in Romans? God that justified us? Who's he that condemns? Christ that died for us? All that stuff that's in Romans? You know, God just keeps trying to tell us who we really are and what we have here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So it's talking there in chapter 6 about all kinds of ugly stuff. We don't need to read that. Because verse 11 says, and such were some of you. It's before you got born again, right? But we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. But, and such were some of you, but because we got born again, you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Washed. We're washed. That means our sins are washed away. They're gone. We're washed. We're justified. There's that word again. We've been made right according to the standard, God's legal standard. And that's because Jesus Christ did the work for us. And then it says we are sanctified, and that means to be set apart. We are set apart from the rest of the world who's not born again. We're in this wonderful group called the household of God, the body of Christ, God's church, if you will, the Bible says. Boy, wonderful things there, right? Washed, justified, and sanctified. Next week, we're going to take a little closer look at the word sanctified. But if you would, go to Ephesians 2. That's where we're going to close in just a couple of minutes. Ephesians 2. Isn't it great to just look at these, remind ourselves? This is who I am. You want to find your identity? Your true identity is in the seven church epistles. That's who you really are. That's what you really have. And I know it's the truth because God said so. God said so. And that's plenty for me. We're going to Ephesians 2 here in a minute. So we have God's gift of Holy Spirit in us, which gives us direct access to God Almighty, who is our Father. We are children of God Almighty, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are members of the household of God. We are righteous. We are redeemed. We are justified. We are sanctified. We are forgiven. We've been washed. We're acceptable in God's sight. We are holy, without blame, and unimpeachable in His sight. We've been delivered from the judgments to come. This is part of who we are as born again ones. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. And there's so much more. Now, remember, we were at the beginning, we were talking about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture, all of it, is God-breathed, and it's profitable for, and I think you all know this, profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is right believing, or right teaching is more accurate. The word doctrine is teaching. It's right teaching, that which is right, that which is true, right? So the scriptures, all of it, it's profitable so we know what is really true. The scriptures are also profitable for reproof that shows us where we're not believing what is really true. And it's profitable for correction, which helps us get back to believing what is really true. And all of that is instruction in righteousness. How valuable God's word is. It's profitable so that we could know the truth and not get, as it says, blown about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to guess. We want to know the truth, right? And that's why spending time reading and reading and reading the seven church epistles is so important. And as I said before, taking note, especially when it's, wow, this is what who God said I am. This is what God said that I have. Next week we'll look at, this is what God said I can do. Or what's the point of being born again? Well, I got born again. Now what do? I don't know. Let's go to a game. People, you know, can talk about living their lives for God, but without a right understanding of the truth of who God says you are, our walking and living for Him is very limited. It's very limited. And without knowing and believing the truth, it becomes real easy for our enemy to beguile us, to deceive us, to talk us out of what is true, what is truth. So, who do you see in the mirror when you look in the mirror? Most people can't even stand to look at themselves in the mirror. I gotta get my hair done. I don't like this person anyway. But maybe just take a good look at yourself in the mirror and think about some of these things that we looked at this morning. I'm lovely and acceptable in God's sight. I'm holy. Point at yourself. You're holy and without blame. You're unimpeachable. God forgave you of everything. There was a little thing we used to say. I am who the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. And I can do what the Word of God says I can do. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're closing this morning. And you, oh, there's me again. I'm in here. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened means to be made alive. Means we were dead before. How could I be dead before? No spirit life. No spirit life. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein? In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, good thing for that, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. And we saw in Romans that even when we were sinners, God loved us. With his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, had no spirit. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And he's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't go around egotistical, you know, obnoxious, you know, I know God's word, and we don't do that. Because everything we have is by God's great love and his great grace toward us. And it's not of yourselves, it says in verse 8. It's by God's great love, great grace, and the completed work of Jesus Christ. And verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not egotistical, but on the other hand, we're not afraid of letting our light shine. We're not secret agent believers. You know, when we get together in a fellowship or a believers meeting, you know, it's like God is great and I was reading this and that was great. But then when we are in the world, we're just like secret agents. Nobody would ever even know. No one would ever know. We let our light shine. We are not egotistical. We're not obnoxious. But we walk with the love of God in our hearts, looking for an open door to speak his word with the love of God. You know, we live our lives, what does it say in Ephesians? As God's dear children. Be followers of God as God's dear children. It says we're living epistles. Living epistles. Not afraid to speak God's word. Why? To help people. Not to show how much we know. I know 50 verses. How many do you know? None? Well, no wonder you're a pagan. You know, it's looking to help people. Looking to help people to get saved and born again so that they can come unto a knowledge of the truth and see their true identity, who they really are and what they have. Speaking of children, I can read this to you. There's a wonderful couple in Minnesota that we've known for years and kept in contact ever since we left Minnesota in 1989. And Linda sent us a note, and we're praying for her brother who's going through some medical stuff and needing some surgery. But her brother's name is David. So this happened at a preschool in Minnesota. David's little grandson, Rhett, prayed before snack time at preschool. Then another little one prayed, and another, and another, and another. The teacher said there was 15 minutes of prayers before snack time. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. That's letting their little light shine, isn't it? Yeah. So I thought it would bless you to hear that. And so again, four very important things that as believers, as born again ones, that we absolutely need to know the truth about, and that is who God is, what God can do, who we are, what we have, and what we can do. And so next week we'll do a little review of what we do as Christians. So Father God, we're so grateful that you have done so much for us. It's just amazing. overwhelming. And Father, we thank you for being such a wonderfully kind, gracious, loving, merciful God. We thank you for the eternal life we have, the Holy Spirit that's in us, that great day that we look forward to till Christ returns. And until then, Father, may we believe who you really made us to be. And Father, may we live our lives letting our light shine, being those living epistles. And Father, we pray that you would open doors for us to minister your wonderful word and deliverance to others. And we thank you for these things and for your love for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.